వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ హరే కృష్ణ. సో టుడే మార్నింగ్ వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 6 చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 1 ద హిస్టరీ ఆఫ్ ద లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ అజామిల్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 49. యథాజ్ఞస్తమసాయుక్త యథాజ్ఞస్తమసాయుక్త ఉపాస్తే వ్యక్తం ఏవ హి ఉపాస్తే వ్యక్తం ఏవ హి న వేద పూర్వం అపరం వేద పూర్వం అపరం నష్ట జన్మ స్మృతిస్తథా నష్ట జన్మ స్మృతిస్తథా యథాజ్ఞస్తమసాయుక్త ఉపాస్తే వ్యక్తం ఏవ హి న వేద పూర్వం అపరం నష్ట జన్మ స్మృతిస్తథా యథాజ్ఞస్తమసాయుక్త ఉపాస్తే వ్యక్తమేవ హి న వేద పూర్వం అపరం నష్ట జన్మ స్మృతిస్తథా. Someone would like to repeat. యథాజ్ఞస్తమసాయుక్త ఉపాస్తే వ్యక్తమేవ హి న వేద పూర్వం అపరం నష్ట జన్మ స్మృతిస్తథా యథాజ్ఞస్తమసాయుక్త ఉపాస్తే వ్యక్తం ఏవ హి న వేద పూర్వం అపరం నష్ట జన్మ స్మృతిస్తథా. మదర్స్ లేడీస్ యథాజ్ఞస్తమసాయుక్త ఉపాస్తే వ్యక్తమేవ హి న వేద పూర్వం అపరం నష్ట జన్మ స్మృతిస్తథా. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ప్లీజ్ కైండ్లీ రిపీట్. యథా జస్ట్ యాజ్ అజ్ఞ అండ్ ఇగ్నోరెంట్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్ తమసా ఇన్ స్లీప్ యుక్త ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఉపాసతే యాక్ట్స్ అకార్డింగ్ టు వ్యక్తం అ బాడీ మ్యానిఫెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ అ డ్రీమ్ ఏవ సర్టన్లీ హీ ఇండీడ్ న వేద డస్ నాట్ నో పూర్వం ద పాస్ట్ బాడీ అపరం the next body, nashta, lost, janma smritihi, the remembrance of birth, tatha, similar. Translation and purport by His loving divine grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Arvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This translation. As a sleeping person acts according to the body manifested in his dreams and accepts it to be himself, so one identifies with his present body, which he acquired because of his past religious or irreligious actions, and is unable to know his past or future lives. Purport. A man engages in sinful activities because he does not know what he did in his past life to get his present materially conditioned body, which is subjected to the threefold miseries. As stated by Rishabhdev in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4, Nyunam pramatta kurute vikarma. A human being who is mad after sense gratification does not hesitate to act sinfully. Yat indriya pritira paranoti. He performs sinful actions simply for sense gratification. Nasadhu manne. This is not good. Yat atmano yam asan api kleshad asadeha. Because of sinful actions, one receives another body in which to suffer, as he is suffering in his present body because of his past sinful activities. It should be understood that a person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing at the present, and how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is Tamasi Ma. Don't remain in darkness. Jyotirgama. Try to go to the light. The light or illumination is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when he is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when he transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. This is described in Shweta Shvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasyate katita hyartha prakashante mahatmanah. Little big purport. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Vedas enjoin tadvijnanartham sagurum eva bhigachet. One must approach a spiritual master who has full knowledge of the Vedas and be faithfully directed by him in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature. According to his association with the material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, a living entity gets a particular type of body. The example of one who associates with the mode of goodness is a qualified Brahmana. Such a Brahmana knows past, present, and future because he consults the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshu. He can understand what his past life was, why he is in the present body, and how he can obtain liberation from the clutches of Maya and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Generally, however, the living entities are engrossed in the mode of passion and ignorance. In any case, one receives an inferior or superior body at the discretion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, as stated in the previous verse. Manasseva pure devah purvarupam vipashyati anumi mam sate purvam manasa bhagavan ajah. Everything depends on Bhagavan or Ajah, the unborn. Why does not one please Bhagavan to receive a better body? The answer is Ajna Tamasa, because of gross ignorance. One who is in complete darkness cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be. He is simply interested in this present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in the mode of ignorance and interested only in his present body is like an animal. For an animal, being covered by ignorance, thinks that the ultimate goal of life and happiness is to eat as much as possible. A human being must be educated to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book called Bhrigu Samhita, which reveals information about one's past, present and future lives according to astrological calculations. Somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present and future. One who is interested only in his present body and who tries to enjoy his senses to the fullest extent is understood to be engrossed in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is grossly covered by ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the mode of ignorance, and therefore everyone thinks his present body to be everything without consideration of the past or future. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashata Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So this is very beautiful, one of the very beautiful verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. One time, Srila Prabhupada went to one big donor and he was giving a class. And as usual, Srila Prabhupada, whenever he goes to a materialistic person, naturally, he would like to speak on how we are not the body, we are the spirit soul, and how we should understand the goal of our life, and just to awaken a person from his sleep of slumber of his wealth, opulence, and enjoyment. Prabhupada, he brings out to him, that person, to his sanity, to his real understanding. And he was doing as usual. And he was speaking about how we are not the body, how we are to understand we are spirit soul, we are eternal servant of Krishna. And the person, because he gave a very big donation, so he had something else in his mind to hear from Srila Prabhupada. So in between he stopped Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, we want to hear about Rasa Leela of Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada heard the question and he said, yes, in order to understand Rasa Leela, we have to first understand how we are not the body, how we are the spirit soul. We are eternal servant of Krishna. And Prabhupada was going on and the person was becoming more impatient. And he stopped once again Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we want to hear some nice pastime about Rasa Leela. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Srila Prabhupada Ki. So again Prabhupada was interrupted and Prabhupada heard him and he said, yes, in order to understand Rasa Leela, we have to understand that how we are not the body and how we are eternal servant of Krishna. And then he was again going ahead. And the person was more impatient because he was not able to hear what he wanted to hear. And then again he interrupted Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, we want to hear about Rasa Leela, the intimate pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And third time when he was interrupted, Srila Prabhupada became serious, a grave, his famous grave look was there, a very serious look. And he looked at the person and he said, you may be qualified to hear about Rasa Leela, but I am not qualified to speak about Rasa Leela. And then Prabhupada continued. So this is very special. How Srila Prabhupada is so keen and eager to remove the misconceptions of our existence. So many misconceptions we have gathered living in the material world. And as a lion guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to take great pleasure in cutting down the impersonalist conceptions, the Mayavad conceptions. Following in the footsteps, Srila Prabhupada also was very eager And that's why today's purport we can see, it's a long purport. Prabhupada would have, you know, said that as we have discussed in Bhagavad Gita chapter number 2 and such verse, and just few sentences he must have just said and went ahead with the next purport. Although if you see, at least 3-4 verses in this chapter, the same theme is going on. And still Srila Prabhupada is enthusiastic to give an elaborate purport on this, of how, you know, it is very important for us to be awakened, to bring us to a real understanding of why we are existing now, why we are in the present body, the way we are in the present body, what was our past, what will be our future. It is very important to understand these principles. And Srila Prabhupada is very enthusiastic and eager to awaken us in the following, the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A beautiful verse and a song is sung. Jiva jago, jiva jago, Gora chanda bole, Kotha nidra jao maya, Pishachira kole. Very sweet song, but it just awakens us. Kotha nidra jao maya, Pishachira kole. We are sleeping, very peacefully sleeping on the lap of Pishachi, bloodthirsty witch. How can we be peaceful when we are lying on her lap, when she is bloodthirsty? But just see the power of Krishna's illusory energy, Maya Shakti, that we feel, no, this lap is the most sweet and comfortable lap for me. I have no anxiety whatsoever. I am completely peaceful, protected on this lap of Maya. That's a illusion, that's a understanding one develops. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is so keen to see that, and we are awakened to real understanding, to our real constitutional position. Many times, you know, devotees, you know, out of their love, they used to call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Supreme Lord, incarnation of the Supreme Lord or Supreme Lord himself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never used to accept that. He used to close his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, what you are saying? How can an ordinary living entity can become God? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a different purpose why he has come. So he never accepted that, you know, he is Vishnu himself, he is Krishna himself. He always said, I am a living entity. And that's why, to give us an emphatic understanding of what is our real position, he composed that very beautiful verse. Naham vipro na chanarapati napi vaishyo na shudro, naham varni na chakrahapati irvanosto yatirva, kintu prodya nikhila paramananda purnamrutabdher, gopi bharatur padakamalayor das das anudas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he quoted this verse to establish how the temporary designations or the post and positions which we accept, we should not allow those post and positions to sit on our head. And that's what happens in the material world. Whenever a person is given a post, immediately everything starts changing in his personality, in his conduct, in his, first of all, dress materials, and then conducts and chooses whom to sit with, whom not to sit with, whom to talk with, whom not to talk with. Everything changes for such a personality as soon as he gets a position. And that's a material world that happens, because he is allowing that seat or position to sit on his head. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by this sweet verse, he is bringing us down that you may be naham vipro, you may be a vipra, brahmana, a great learned personality, or you may be a kshatriya, a king of a place, or a vaishya, a great businessman, or you may be a small person doing labor, shudra, or you may be brahmachari, or grahastha, or vanaprastha, or sannyasi, whatever may be your position. But that's not your position. That's the varnashram is a institution, or it's a state and position given to a individual on a conditional platform, on a material platform. How, when one has a material body based on the three modes of material nature, and one is categorized, divided into different varnas and ashrams, and those ashrams and varnas have a particular duties to be performed, a way of doing a particular things are there, and one should do that. But one should not understand that he is that position or that varna, but he is Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. He is eternally servant of Lord Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is our eternal position, that I am eternally servant of Krishna. And as a service to Krishna, one may have different posts and positions. That's another thing. And one has to do justice to the post and position one has got. Because the more the important post, the more the responsibility, heavy duty responsibility comes on him. Therefore, in the previous times, those who are cultured in devotional service or in the Vedic literatures, in the Vedic system, they always used to fear to take big posts and positions, because they understood that big post and position may give me many facilities, but that's secondary. What is the responsibility, the heavy responsibility which comes on my head. I should be able to fulfill that. Otherwise, one has great repercussions. He has to suffer in his next life. As we hear, many, many stories are there in the Puranas. Somebody who was born as a Brahmana in the previous life, this life he was born as a Shudra, because he did not practice his Brahmanical life or responsibilities in his like that. There are many stories or examples we can think of. But the aspect is very important, that one should feel the weight of responsibility when one has post and position. Otherwise, he should not accept. He is doing injustice, or by accepting that position without accepting the responsibility, one becomes responsible to destroy faith of innocent people in the process of devotional service. And that is very dangerous. Krishna becomes so displeased with an individual who becomes instrument to destroy the faiths of other individuals. Because that is something which is very tender and very, very important. To have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness is not easy. Although it's a beginning, adho shraddha, beginning stage. But to get that shraddha, to come to that shraddha level, one has to go through so much of piety. Bhagavad Gita explains, after giving up so much of sinful activities and earning so much of sukrutis, then one is qualified to enter into devotional service. So when somebody comes to devotional service and we become the instrument to destroy his faith, Krishna never tolerates, or he never accepts that. He is very displeased. So therefore, anyone who gets a post and position, it's a very heavy responsibility for him, because his conduct will influence so many people's devotional service. And it's very heavy responsibility. That's what many times we hear, you know, devotees in our society complaining or saying that, see, I'm practicing, but somehow, you know, I don't get inspiration. People we find saying like this. Why they don't get inspiration? Because, you know, to whom they are looking up to, they are not up to. And that is why they don't feel inspired in their devotional service. So therefore, as soon as we enter in the devotional service, somehow or other we become leader, whether you like it or don't like it. Because those who are non-devotees, they will look up to you as a leader, as a devotee, as a representative of Krishna for them. You may be a new, you may not know much. You are just chanting Hare Krishna. But still, outsiders, they see you, oh, you are a great devotee of Krishna, because you know you have bead bag in your hand, you are chanting, you have tilak or dhoti kurta, like that. So as soon as we accept devotional principles in our life, immediately we start becoming leader, whether we like or no. And therefore, to accept anything, devotional service, we have to understand the gravity and the purpose and the responsibility behind it. Otherwise, we'll just become a nuisance. We'll just create havoc in the lives of so many others who are innocent in one sense. They have not committed anything wrong. But just because, you know, they happen to see us as a devotee, they are accepting us as a leader. So therefore, you know, a very beautiful conversation is there in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to what we are discussing. The conversation between Maharaj Rahugun and Jada Bharat. It's very beautiful. You know, Jada Bharat, we know his story, how he has been through many lives because of committing some mistakes in his devotional service. He has to go through, you know, 2-3 lives. And when he was in the life of a Jada Bharat, as the name says, Jada, he was very inactive. Not at all practicing any standard of a normal person. Behaving exactly opposite. Why? Because he knew past two lives what he has been through and what mistakes he has committed. He was remembering. He was very fortunate. We are not very fortunate. We don't remember what we have done in our past life, because of which we are now currently in this body and going on. But anyway, this wonderful pastime is to, and is there. Krishna has revealed this pastime for us to know it, that something similar is there with ourselves also. We were also something else in the past life, and current life we are suffering because of our past misdeeds, sinful or irreligious activities. So Jada Bharat was totally, you know, callous to what's happening around. He was just simply submerged in his internal consciousness, always remembering Krishna. He had nothing to give and take with the outside world. He was like that. And somehow or other, you know, a king happened to pass by from that jungle where he was there that time. And they were searching for a very stout person to carry the palanquin of the king, because others were, you know, getting tired. The king was nicely sitting and a heavy palanquin was there. So they wanted some help. And they found him. He was just, you know, sitting dumb, as a dumb person. So they went and forcibly grabbed him. Come, king is there, you have to serve king. You know, like that, they forcibly bring him, and he was there and carrying the palanquin. But because he was a devotee, his moving on the ground, earth surface, was not like other people. He was very careful, you know, whether I am, you know, smashing some ants or some living entities while walking. So he used to stop suddenly. Everyone was on a move, and then he used to stop. So everyone was going ahead and there was one break in between. So the palanquin was like rumbling here and there, again and again stopping. So king was very frustrated. What is this? You know,
Then everyone showed, oh, this person is the culprit. You know, he is creating nuisance. And king looked at him and he said, I am the king of this place. And why you are not doing properly? Why you are not serving your king properly? You know you will be punished. And seeing a very beautiful opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness and understanding that if I preach to this leader who is the king of this place, if his heart is transformed, I am sure and all the citizens of the king will be transformed. Understanding this, Jadabharat for the first time in his life, he began speaking. He was not speaking at all. He was behaving as if he doesn't know how to speak, he doesn't know how to hear, he doesn't have intelligence to discriminate. He was totally Jad. But first time he began speaking, and very beautiful. And first of all he said to the king, saying that, my dear king, you know, there are transformations of earth which happens in this world. And by transformation of those earthly planet and the particles, this palanquin has been formed. And sitting on this palanquin is you, king, who has a body which is made up of earth, the material element earth. You have bones, hands, legs, everything. And sitting there, you think you are a king, and those people who are carrying you are the servants. But this is your illusion, my dear king. And king, for the first time, you know, he heard a servant, insignificant person, you know, somewhere from the jungles, and he's telling him that you are in illusion. You are wrongly thinking that you are a king. And then, very beautiful way, he started explaining how all the manifestations in this world, what we see, they are all temporary manifestations. Although they are real, but they are not eternal. They are temporary. They have a beginning and end as well. So therefore, O king, do not take these positions very seriously. But understand that only our position is we are eternally servant of Krishna. And very beautiful verse he spoke. I'll just read out. This fifth chapter, fifth canto, chapter 12, text number 12. Very beautiful verse. It's a culmination of kind of his teachings. He says, Rahugune tattapasa nayati na chejaya nirvapanat guhadva na chandansa naiva jalagni surye vina mahat padarajo bhishekam. He says to Maharaj, my dear King Rahuguna, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder, leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. So, this is a culmination of the principle of devotional service which is revealed by Jadabharat to Maharaj Rahuguna. That only when we receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can we be delivered from our illusion or ignorance. Because the root of sinful activity is ignorance. We are not aware of our reality. What is our eternal position? And only by devotional service, actually we can understand. Many beautiful verses. This verse Prabhupada quotes here. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasya te katita hi artha prakashante mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Vedeshu durlabha madurlabha matma bhakto. Similar, I know. How by studying Vedic literatures we cannot understand Krishna? Vedeshu durlabha adurlabha atma bhakto. Only Atma Bhakta, by His mercy, can we actually understand what is Supreme Lord. Because Prabhupada quotes here, says, Tamaso ma jyotir gamayam. If we have to fight back the ignorance because of which we are, you know, suffering in this world, we have to go to light. And what is that light? Light is the Vedic literature. But problem is, just taking the Vedic literatures, we cannot understand the absolute truth. It's not possible. But when we actually serve a great devotee of the Lord, Mahat Pad Rajobhishekam, means Raj, the dust, bathing in the dust of a pure devotee of the Lord. Sometimes we take it very literally. That we find a pure devotee, walk by and then we see, and especially it's very easy in Vrindavan because so much dust everywhere is available. So we take that dust and put, that's wonderful, that's a gesture of, you know, humbling oneself and taking shelter. But besides doing that activity, the more important activity is to submit oneself to the instructions of such a pure devotee of the Lord. And that's a real challenge, submitting oneself to the instructions, because those instructions will be contrary to our conditioned heart. They will always, you know, different ways, obstacles will be created to exhibit our material consciousness of enjoyer, of proprietor, of controller. You know, these which are Krishna's wonderful qualities. He is supreme controller, enjoyer, proprietor. But being minute part and being associated with the modes of material nature, we try to exhibit those similar tendencies and want to, you know, extract some happiness in this material realm, material world. But then we are punished again and again by the modes of material nature and by the karmic reactions. We are punished again and again. So a pure devotee of the Lord, Acharya, he gives us instructions by which our material tendencies will be curbed. Will not be able to exhibit I am the enjoyer. Will not be able to exhibit I am the controller. Will not be able to exhibit I am the proprietor. Because he will time and again tell us that you are not the proprietor, everything belongs to Krishna. He will again and again tell that only Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and we are his eternal servants. And we are not controller, Krishna is controlling everything. So a pure devotee's instructions will obstruct us in exhibiting our conditioned material life. And those instructions will bring us to a platform of heart where humility is practiced. Because Lord Krishna personally never deals with the false pride of living entities. He gives this responsibility to his trusted, you know, appointed, you know, representatives like the pure devotees of Krishna. So pure devotees or the spiritual master specifically, he deals with the false ego, false pride of living entities. And he instills the consciousness that how you are not a servant of Krishna, but you are loving servant of Krishna. He instills that love in the heart. He brings out that love in the heart and helps us to practice loving devotional service. There is a forced devotional service and there is a loving devotional service. In the beginning, you know, sometimes we are forced to do devotional service. We are told, you are supposed to do this. It's like a force because we want to do something else. But it looks like a force, but no. By doing like this, slowly, 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 when we feel, when we try to feel in our heart gratitude towards Krishna and towards spiritual master, that they are so merciful and loving to me that they are kindly instructing me in this manner, although it's not, you know, sweet for my ears, but they are still instructing me to do this. And by having loving feelings for spiritual master, slowly, slowly we'll give up our anarthas, we'll throw away those consciousness and lovingly serve Krishna with the help of spiritual master. So therefore the role of spiritual master or instructing spiritual master in one's life is very important, because he is the one who actually helps us to revive our love for Krishna. He is that personality. So therefore it says, yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. One should have implicit faith in the instructions of spiritual master and Lord Krishna. And by that, the imports of all the Vedic knowledge will be revealed. I'll just end with a very sweet pastime. One time, one of the disciples of Ramanujacharya, he asked his spiritual master, my dear spiritual master, can you please reveal me the internal purport of the verse 1866 from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Masucha. So he, Ramanujacharya, did not say anything. At the same time, there was one lady disciple of Ramanujacharya who came to Ramanujacharya saying that, I am very much in difficulty, troubles, because of my family members, in-laws, they are not treating me nicely, they are making me work so hard, day and night I am working. So I am very much troubled. I had to go miles away, long distances, just to bring water at home. So when Ramanujacharya heard this, he looked at this devotee who was asking, my dear spiritual master, please reveal the internal purport of Sarva Dharman Parityajya. He looked at him and said, okay, you go to her house and whatever work she has been doing, you do that work. That was the instruction given to him. He was surprised because he asked a question and he expected some wonderful philosophical answer, using some examples or stories like that. But he got an instruction that go to her house and carry out all the activities which she is doing. Means he was told that you go and become a servant there. Wash pots, bring water, wash clothes, clean the house with the broom. This is what he is supposed to do now. He went, because spiritual master has told, he went. He didn't say that, first answer my question, then I will go. No, he didn't say that. He just went, okay, my spiritual master has told, I'll go. He went. He stayed there for 6 months. And an incident happened that somebody else came in that village and he was giving a discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam. But somehow he was not well versed. And he was mistaking when he was speaking Siddhanta. And this devotee of Ramanujacharya, he was a great pandit. He was a very learned person. And he was, you know, very happy that, oh, some devotee has come and he is speaking about Lord Krishna. And he was so happy to hear. And he sat to hear. And when he was hearing, he understood that, you know, he is mismatching the Siddhanta. He is not speaking properly. And he could not, you know, handle it. In the sense, he felt that, you know, everyone is getting wrong understanding. Then he raised his hand and he said, my dear sir, what you are saying is wrong. And the real understanding is, and then he started quoting shlokas. And all the villagers, they were struck with wonder. My God, you know, he's a servant, you know, he's washing, you know, pots and cleaning the house. And how does he know Sanskrit? How does he is quoting big shastras? And he's refuting this great devotee we have brought him to give a discourse. And they understood that there is something wrong. This person cannot be simply a servant. And they went and asked him, who are you? What is your real position? Then he said, no, I am just a simple servant of my Guru Maharaj, Ramanujacharya. And what is your name? My name is Dasharathi. Dasharathi, you are such a great devotee. We have heard about you so much. You are such a scholarly personality. What you are doing here, this lady's house? And they were not able to take that position of him. And they all went to Ramanujacharya and said that, you know, why you are doing like this with this great personality? He is, you know, doing small work at our village. Then Ramanujacharya, hearing all those things, he was very pleased, very happy. And then he started revealing what is the internal purport of this. Basically, Ramanujacharya actually blessed him with the quality of humility. Because when one is learned in scholar, one thinks that, oh, I am very big person. You know, I am very educated, very learned in the scriptures. You ask any questions, I will answer any question. You know, one goes, you know, on a higher level thinking, imagining himself great. But the real key to receive the mercy is the humility of the heart. And because in a humble mood, he served his spiritual master with a very simple service, Ramanujacharya became so pleased. And that was the heart ready to hear what is Sarvadharman Parityajya, what is the internal purport. So before preparing his heart, he did not speak anything. So therefore, this is very important to prepare our heart properly. Be a humble devotee. And then actually we can please our spiritual master by our service. Whatever service it may be. It may be very big or it may be very insignificant. But spiritual master will be pleased by that. And everything, whatever is required, will be revealed. Because that's the process of bhakti. Bhakti is the process of mercy. When we receive the mercy, everything we achieve. We don't have to do big things. If whatever we are doing pleases a pure devotee of the Lord, that's it. That is the only thing required. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. I'm very sorry I went a little over time. But this is very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada is, you know, awakening us, Jeeva Jago, you know, is bringing us to sanity, to open our eyes and see the reality and not get carried away by the temporary phase of our existence. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. One small thing, actually there was one announcement to be made in the morning program, but somehow it missed out. This is regarding Brajadarshan guide services. There is a training program going on for those who are interested in becoming the Brajadarshan guides. Because many devotees, they want guides to take them around in Braj and explain them about the importance of those places. So devotees who are interested in attending this seminar may kindly register with the Welcome Center. And venue is Prabhupada House. Time is 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the speaker is Devanand Pandit Prabhu. And the date is 23rd September, that is today. So today 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. that's the training program. So those who want to, are interested, please kindly attend. Thank you.